turned off while it was in my pocket. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I appreciate all of you coming to this class for the prophetic ministry in the church. There's such a misconception about the prophetic ministry. Almost seems mystical and spooky, you know, to some. And it's amazing how many people are still wrapped up in the Old Testament model. And they're waiting on the prophet Elijah to come to town and chew everybody out and go home and we all feel better somehow. But there's a major difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, they did not have the Holy Spirit. There was a man that God would choose and God would anoint specifically for the word of the Lord, and that man would usually go on a circuit, or he would, whatever the case was that he would do. And people did not have what you have. They did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling. And therefore, they wouldn't know what the word of the Lord was. The prophet would come to town. We're going to find out what God's saying. But the difference is that Paul made the statement. He said, now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is in you. And I just want to say that within him is all of the giftings and all of the treasure. And all of that's within you. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and instruct you. But even more than that, and this is where I'm wanting to get to, is God will make you a part of His purpose and His plan in this day and time. And in the local church, and I just want to say you are the local church, but you don't have to be. A lot of people have also in mind that the prophetic ministry is exercised only between 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. And that's just a rotten shame. Because the prophetic ministry should be something that flows in you continually. And let me just explain what the prophetic ministry is from your standpoint. The prophetic ministry is a glimpse into or insight into the plan and the purpose of God. Now, I can't tell you anything that's outside that purpose. Now, you know, that's why fortune tellers and palm readers, they can't talk to you, is because they don't know the plan of God. They don't know what God's purpose is. Now, they may declare something to you, and I'm not saying that there's not some spiritual entity behind what they're saying, but they don't know what the plan and the purpose of God is for your life. They don't have a clue. And so what God does, God uses the body to give glimpses here and there into someone's life. And so the prophetic ministry should not be something that is specifically isolated just to a prophet or just to a pastor or a teacher. You as the body of Christ have the potential to give of the prophetic ministry everywhere you go. And you have the ability for God to drop a word into your heart. And sometimes it comes through a word of knowledge. You will know something about somebody, but as you begin to speak and declare, it becomes a prophetic word. Now, it may not be, yea, I say unto thee. It may not be Elizabethan English. As a matter of fact, in this day and time, there's so many people that don't understand. Isn't it amazing? We get inside of our little bubble and we have all of our charismatic words and all of our Pentecostal words. And you know, in this world today, if you talk about the bomb in Gilead, they're thinking about a terrorist over there in Lebanon. They don't know what that means. And so you got a responsibility to take that in mind. And you know, if you just go up to somebody and say, yay, I say unto thee, well, they're going to call 911. And so the point is not for you to look good. The point, you got to get you out of the occasion. You are simply the mailman. You're somebody who's just delivering something for someone. But the problem is, and this is the thing that weighs most on my heart, is the fact that most people feel disqualified to do that. And I want to say that every single one of you in the body of Christ are qualified to flow in the prophetic and to allow that to happen. Now, many times people say, well, I don't know how to get started because the only model they've seen is, like I said, we're going to put you in a blessing chair and blow in your mouth and roll you on the floor and spin you around and all that kind of stuff. And they really don't understand how that stuff works in everyday life. But see, it should work at your job. It can work at the grocery store. It can work as you're going through. God, and somebody say, why? Why can't it? Because the fact is, God loves the whole world. The commission of the church is to fulfill John 3:16. That's it, man. God so loved the world. He's not mad at anybody. And unfortunately, we've misunderstood that, and the prophetic has become something where we were almost displaying our anger and calling it God's anger. You know, we were frustrated because we can't figure that anything's going to work out and the whole world's going to go to hell in a handbasket. But God doesn't think that. Amen. God does not think that this thing's going to collapse and, my God, what am I going to do? God, that's not in His thinking. What God is, He knows how things are going to work out. And so what God does, it's the love of God that is the motivation. You know, we've talked before about faith, hope, and love. Faith is the power, hope is the blueprint, and love is the motivation. It's the love. Love is the motivation for everything I do. And so whenever I hook up with you, the love of God is initiated in my heart, and you'll find that the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit will begin to flow through me, and the motivation will be God's love. Why? Because God wants to reveal His purpose to them. And He's not out to get anybody. His wrath in its entirety was poured out at the cross. God's going to get you for that. He already did. He got me at Calvary. Anything that was upsetting to Him, all the wrath of God, Jesus bore it. The Lamb of God, He bore it all. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when I go around now, I can speak and I can realize that my commission as the body of Christ is to reveal the love of God to that individual, is to allow that to flow through them. And God's desire, I don't care how wretched they've become, God's desire is to minister to them. I've gone into places, I remember I was ministering in one church one time, and man, I prophesied the most incredible, wonderful, sweet things in the world. The pastor came to me and he said, man, that's the biggest troublemaker we've got. he's just terrible. You know, he's been this. And of course, then you feel bad about it because you think, oh, geez, what am I going to do about that? I mean, go and say, well, I really didn't mean that. Taking it back, you've been a bad guy. Well, but see, the bottom line is, God, I don't care how wretched you become, God's always calling you back to His purpose. God's not shocked because you got goofed up. Let me just tell you something. You're not going to shock God. And when you told God about your problem, that wasn't when He found out about it. He knew about it the whole time. God's not lost His cool about anything. He's still with you. And all the time, God's calling you back to His purpose. And the prophetic word will come out, and it's always revealing God's plan. It's always revealing God's love. That's why it's always edification, exhortation, and comfort. And when prophetic words get outside the boundaries of edification, exhortation, and comfort, I'm just telling you something, you're on the edge there of moving away from God altogether.
Yes.
Amen. It's your job to catch them. It's His job to skin them. Your job is to declare what God's purpose is for them. Well, that's God's purpose for you to rot away in the corner. No, it's not. No, it's not. God has purpose for you. I don't know how many of you ever got messed up in your life. And you love God, but you still got messed up. Now, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know probably at least three of you. But you know what? The purpose of God never stopped. The purpose of God never stopped pulling at you. The purpose, the love of God never stopped reaching to you and saying, okay, maybe we're off track here, but I want to draw you right back because this is what I got for you. And the Lord will just give that to you. The Lord just dropped that in, and everybody wants to hear that. Now, I've been around prophetic ministry my entire life, but when a prophetic anointing is flowing, I still can sit there on the edge of my seat and go, I want a word from the Lord. Even if it's the fact of God saying, yeah, I still like you. You know, I mean, I just want something from God. I remember when my daughter, she was so young, and I'd take her to school, and every day I tried to purpose in my heart to say something of value to her every day, to all my children. I wanted a principle of truth, of wisdom to be implanted in their heart. And it doesn't take you very long to move from saying, you know, I really see this about you, to moving into the prophetic realm to where you start saying, this is what God's got for your life. I mean, it's just, boy, you just move from there to there. And I remember even as a little girl, one day she came to me and she said, Daddy, has the Lord said anything to you about me lately? And I thought, that's just incredible. And I thought, even a child longs to hear from the Lord. They long to hear from that. Why? Because there's a yearning, a longing within us that we want to know the purpose of God. We want to know the plan of God. We just want it revealed. He doesn't have to do everything, but Lord, I just want to know. I just want that connection. And so this is where the prophetic, and with that in mind, I want to talk to you about the church in relation to the prophetic ministry. And please get the idea that your eyes roll back in your head and you levitate and, you know, you can do card tricks and all kinds of stuff like that. Here is what happens. Because there's sometimes I go into a church and I've gone into churches before and I would literally minister to every single person in the whole place. Every single person. I remember, I wish they were in here because I just love to tell it when they're in here. Billy and Brenda Hunter was... I was prophesying to everybody. Now, of course, a lot of times in a line, you've got, you know, 50, 75 people lined up and you don't know who's who and what's what, but you just go through and by the time you get halfway through, you're kind of dizzy anyway. And so, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions. And I came to them and, you know, I said, this is what I said. See, you guys are really working together in this church. You guys are going to be pillars together in this house. God's called you and you're going to be this. And I'm just, man, it's just, and I didn't know that they weren't even dating and they weren't married. What are you going to do with that? And so it's funny because Billy, because you know, Billy Hunter, you know, he is country boy to the bone. And he said, you know, after you said that, he said, I got to thinking, well, I guess we need to get acquainted. Oh, it was great. And he asked her out and they got married. And now they're the pastors of that church. And I'm going, thank God. But you know, all I saw in them, I just, you know, I didn't see everything. I just saw that. And it was, as I began to speak it, it set things in motion. Now, a lot of times I've gone into places where I've ministered to everybody and I had a word. And sometimes I go up to somebody and I got nothing. I mean, it was like a blank sheet. I got nothing. I mean, nothing. Like I said in the last deal, you crickets. And you're thinking, God, give me something. So what do you do in that? I mean, here you are in a situation to where a prophetic word is important, and I think it's a beautiful thing. But I may not have a prophetic word, but let me tell you what I do have. I do have the ability to bless. I can bless. I can declare a blessing over somebody. You have that authority. Bible said, bless and don't curse. You, through the name of Jesus, have the ability to declare blessing. And so what I do is I can just say, because this is a great guy right here, and I can just start blessing. I say, God, I just ask you to bless him, honor him, Lord, I'm just praying that you would cause the strength of his life to rise up. I'm asking God that you just anoint him and honor him. And Lord, just cause the grace within him to begin to rise up. And what I find from my blessing him, the love of God kicks in motion. And suddenly God will just drop a glimpse. And not a lot, but just a glimpse about him. And so what I've moved in was from blessing to giving a prophetic word or just a word from the Lord to his life that blesses and encourages him, and it grew into that. See, you may not have the ability to walk up, and a lot of times we're just a little bit intimidated just to walk up to somebody and say, you know, not everybody could do that. Now, Roger could probably do that, but not everybody could just walk up and say, God's got a word for you. Because sometimes we don't know, but you just feel compelled towards somebody. And you don't even know why. Listen, you're not a mind reader. And don't try to be. Don't try to make this thing so weird and mystical that, because it's just spooky and you'll only be a blessing to about 12 people that know all the buzzwords, you know, and you'll never be a blessing to someone outside the boundaries of a church. And you know what? Everybody, I don't care who it is. It could be at Walmart, loves a blessing. You know, you can just walk up to them and say, you know what? I just really see something special about you. I don't know what it is, but God's got plans for your life. Now, you have no idea how many people literally are on the edge of their life. And that word right there ignites somehow the love of God, of hope in their life and strength in their life. And you don't have to get so dramatic with it. And if you feel, because what I'm reaching for is, if I feel something, you know, I just feel like God's got his hand on your life, I may feel an unction in a particular area. I may feel, you know, you have this skill or you have this ability, you know, I just see that. So that's what I would tell Allison when she was little. I'd just say, man, I just see this about you. I see that about you. I just really believe that you've got that. You know, my youngest daughter, Ariel, she's an amazing girl. I mean, the girl has the ability. She can read somebody like that. And it's incredible. Now, she's not trying to do it from a spiritual standpoint, but she can just, and I talked to her about that. I said, Ariel, that's something in you. Do you know that there are some things in us that are only unlocked when they're recognized by somebody else?
Amen.
That's the truth. There's treasures in our life that we can do or can't do that is only unlocked when somebody sees this. Of course, I'm thinking of Dawn, when she was at Mike Lincoln's church 112 years ago. And I just saw her writing a song. At that time, have you ever written a song?
Tried.
You know, I just saw it. It wasn't deep and it wasn't mystical. I just see this. You know, and sometimes things come to you and that's the only way you can present it. Paul made the statement. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. How many of you have ever been driving down the road and suddenly, boom, somebody comes to your mind? And you're thinking, well, Lord, I hadn't thought of them in 5 years. Where did that come from? And we dismiss it too often, missing the fact that that was something that God dropped in our spirit for them. To pray for them or to speak a word. I'd given an illustration earlier, but I remember that time whenever Mike Lincoln was pastoring a church over here in Stella. And it was just a little out of the way place. But Mike was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And I was driving from Austin to Dallas. And I'm not giving any thought to him on any level, but just in my mind, it just, boom, there he is. And in my mind, I just had the sensation they're going to offer him a position on the independent assemblies. Now, I had no idea what was going on. I hadn't talked to Brother Ken or Brother Robert or anybody. I didn't know what was going on. And so I'm just driving along. And suddenly, so I just dialed the number. I called him up. I said, Mike, I feel like they're going to open up a position. Well, the next week, he calls me up. And, of course, in his spastic way that Mike could do it, man, you can't believe it. Here's what happened. And he says, He said, they called me up and they asked me if I'd be on the board of directors for the independent assemblies. And that was just something that I'm just driving down the road and he just comes to my mind. And there's times whenever you're going along and things will come to you that we pass off and we don't give any consideration, not knowing that that's the Holy Spirit dropping something in our spirit for someone else. And so it doesn't come always with handwriting on the wall or a voice booming out. It doesn't always sound like John Hull saying, "Yes, I say unto you." It's not like that. What it is, sometimes it's just an impression and you respond to that. And that's the same way whenever I'm going along and I may give a word of encouragement and a blessing. I just want to bless you. You know, that ought to be something that when people leave your house that you say, "Can I bless you before you leave?" Or when you leave somebody else's house, "Can I just bless you before I leave?" What an opportunity that when you just begin to speak blessing, that the love of God for that person is initiated, and the love of God, the thing that God wants more than anything, is to tell you about what He's wanting to do. You know, that's been kind of a thing in God since the beginning. You know, we saw that with Abraham. God said, I'm going to go wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, but I gotta go tell Abraham. I mean, that's just in God's heart. He wants to talk to you. He wants to. And He wants to, about what? About His plan and purpose. So that's the only thing that matters. His plan and purpose. His plan and purpose. That's it. And prophecy that gets outside His plan and purpose, I'm just telling you, you need to stay away from. You know, when people start prophesying things that are outside the plan and purpose of God for your life, you are getting on shady ground there to where you're going to go in the ditch. And that's why it is a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. You know, I mentioned earlier, I might as well go ahead and say it, I have been criticized greatly for passing out candy in church because I only prophesy good things to people. Isn't that terrible? I should feel bad. I'm sorry. I haven't told anybody they was a schmuck today. And we know they are. I know they've been rotten and all you want to say is something good to them. You know, I don't know what to do with that. I could try to muster up something ugly to say to somebody, but quite frankly, God's purpose for them is good. Amen. As God says, I want to do you good and not evil all the days of your life. And so my part is not to straighten out anybody. That's the part of the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you something. I have never in all of my life gotten myself in a place I shouldn't be that the Holy Spirit didn't rake me across the coals. I never did anything accidentally. Oh, I blew the place up accidentally. No. Anytime I do something, the Holy Spirit, boom, He knows. And my response is to respond to Him. Now, if God brings an area of correction and instruction to you through His Word, that's another thing. But it doesn't take but about that much to push somebody over into prophesying tornadoes in Oklahoma. And I'm thinking, a duck could do that. Come on. Yay, June and July, I feel it. Really? So anyway, I saw in dawn, and it wasn't, you know, stars and explosions, but I just had an unction. I just saw it in her. I just saw her. I said, "Dawn, I see you writing. I see you writing a song. I see you doing a CD. I see that." That was simply an unveiling. Now, listen, you say, "Well, what if I get it wrong?" Well, I want to just say this also. You need to be gracious to allow people to get it wrong once in a while.
Yes.
You know, people are trying their best and they're usually nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rockers when they stand up and try to give something. And you need to give people an honorable exit.
Yes.
And if it's something you disagree with, you don't have to go, "Nah, I don't believe that. Are you kidding me?" What you need to say is, "Thank you." Because listen, there's been some things I didn't know was God, and 6 months later, boom, it happened. And so what you need to say is, "Thank you." And what I'll do is I'll take that word and I'm going to apply it to my heart. I'm going to do like Mary. I'm going to hide it up in my heart. And allow, even if you disagree, that's all right. Don't get an attitude, because God will visit you about that. But the fact is, words are going to come to you. But that was just the way it was. And Dawn, how many songs have you written now? Ballpark? Hundred songs. It was like, and the thing was, what was so cool about it, she wrote one almost immediately. Yeah. It was a cool thing, and she is an awesome singer. And I'll never forget that little girl's picture she had on her first CD. It was beautiful. And I thought, isn't that the coolest thing? But all I did was got a glimpse into it, and just my words unlocked the treasure in her, the possibilities in her. See, because there are things in you that you don't even know yet. There are things that God's got for me that maybe because of my upbringing, I haven't had the courage to even look at, or I've been told by people, "You'll never amount to anything." And I have believed a lie. And when something comes like that, and just, it isn't like they're trying to make me do it, but I just see this in you. I just see this in you. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Miss Jenny, what's the? I know her name as well as I know yours, but I just here at the second I'll lose it. The one in charge of the prayer in the Tulsa area, you met her, and she, yes, that's her. She, I went to her, and she was as an associate pastor. And at a church, and I went in and I talked to her. I was there for a meeting, and I called her and the pastor together, and I said I want to just share with you what I see. I said, "This is something that I'm really hesitant to even say, but I said I want you guys to understand that all I can do is share with you what I see. I'm not trying to make anything happen. And I want y'all to know my heart. I want to be transparent, just yield myself before you, but I can't say this." And so we just went to lunch, and I sit down. I wasn't in service. I didn't use any Elizabethan English. I just shared with them what I saw. And I shared with them. I said, "You're the one that's supposed to be the pastor. And you're the one that's supposed to be in this apostolic covering, because you were supposed to do, I felt like you were supposed to start a church here and there." And they both just looked at me and they said, "That's exactly right." They said, "We don't know how that's going to transpire, but we really feel like that's the Lord." And probably within a year, they had made the transition. She moved into the pastoral role. He birthed two more churches after that. And then he went into something else. I'm not even sure. I lost track of that. But the fact was, it was just a unction. And so as you begin to just declare, as you begin to encourage, what will flow out of the encouragement is an unction. And sometimes I'll encourage somebody and I'll have a word that will come out of an encouragement. And it will just be a prominent word. It will be a word that grabs my attention. So I'll just hang on that for a few moments. And I'll just pray that over them. I'll just pray that. And so, again, this is something that is not, I please encourage you to not just isolate this to being the prophets in the church. That's great, but every individual in the church has the potential to prophesy. Yes. Now, we'll deal with the prophets in the church in another session, but this one is for the body of Christ. And every one of you are called to fulfill John 3:16. To declare His love to them. And how do you declare His love? By showing them His will. His purpose. You know, for God so loved the world, it isn't you just going around to the world and saying, "God loves you. God loves you. Well, that's great, but what does that mean? And we begin to demonstrate the love of God by declaring the purpose of God to them and by praying for their sick and by manifesting the power of God through the love of God into that individual. That's the way John 3:16 is fulfilled. And you can do that at the grocery store. You can do that, I told her earlier, Rick Baxter, Rick and Stephanie. Rick said that God spoke to him to set aside some money to give to someone that was in need. And he said he just felt an unction to do that. And so they started setting money. They said by a couple of $100, just set it back. And Rick doesn't have a lot of money, but he set that aside that he wanted to do it. And he said one day he was at Walmart. And he said there was a lady fumbling, and she had a lot of groceries, and she was fumbling, and she didn't have any money. And you know, of course, most of the time you're thinking, oh, good gracious, why couldn't you have had this stuff in order before you got there? And you know how we do. And we miss the opportunity to be a blessing. The blessing of Abraham was not you're going to get a blessing. The blessing of Abraham was you're going to be a blessing. And he said he felt kind of unctioned at that time. This is her. Just give it to her. Pay for her bill. No, I don't want to do that. I just, you know, Lord, I'm in a hurry. I don't have time for this. And he said, Stephanie was behind him and said, I think this is the one. And he stepped up and paid for the lady's bill. Just paid for it. The whole thing. She started crying. The lady at the checkout started crying. And the lady at the next checkout started crying. Revival broke out right there. But it was the response to an unction. And whether that's an unction of giving, and let me just tell you something, you need to be givers. When you give, it opens the door in people's lives. You ever notice you could take the crankiest old jerk in the world and you can take him food when he's hungry and suddenly he will go, thank you. All of those walls come down. Jesus was so known for giving that when Judas went to betray him, that they thought he was going to give to the poor. Everywhere Jesus went, he gave. And you know what? He opened people's lives. He encouraged. He gave. And then he healed. And it opened the door whenever you do things. And this is why I want to encourage you as the body of Christ. You may not say, I don't have a prophecy. I don't have the gift of prophecy. But you have the ability to encourage someone. Just encourage them. And you may not even see anything about them, but you can bless them. Yes. Lord, I just want to bless them. Lord, I just want to declare the blessings of God. And if you'll just continue that for just a second, you'll feel the love of God unctioning out of you because God's saying, I want to hook up with this because I want to reveal my purpose to them. And that has happened to me on so many occasions where I've gone into places and I've got nothing, but I can bless. And so since I'm going to bless, the blessing initiates the love of God. The love of God initiates the prophetic word, and the encouragement brings about a revelation of His purpose for them. And you'll find yourself going everywhere. I want to say this to you. You need to be blessing your children.
Amen.
You need to be blessing your mate. You need to be blessing your church. You need to be blessing. When you go someplace, there's nothing wrong with just saying, God bless you. Bless you. Listen, I just want to bless you. You know, it just anywhere. Everybody would love to have somebody bless them. They've been cussed at and cursed and everything you can think of. And to have somebody step up in this day and time and just say, I just want to bless you. Well, they don't even know how to process that. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Do you know how meaningful that is? But we live ourselves to ourselves so much that the power of God never has the opportunity to flow through us. And the only way that you are ever going to have the gifts of the Spirit flow through you is when you reach out to the needs of someone else rather than your own. And 99% of our prayers and our outreach has to do with our pains and our needs. How am I feeling? How am I turning out in this? How's this looking for me? And as a result, they're never a blessing to anybody. So the kingdom of God is available to flow through you. The kingdom of God is within you. And let me just tell you something. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are resident in you. How many of you just got his foot? When you got saved, man, you got him. Amen. You got him. And you got all the treasure within him. Amen. How do you reach out and let that loose? You reach out to someone else's need and encourage them and then bless them. You know, I don't claim to have a gift of prophecy. What I claim and what I pray for, I say, God, I'm asking that you would give me the ability to be an encouragement to someone. Amen. I want to be a blesser. Yes. That's what I want. Now, it comes out in a manifestation of different ways, but that's my desire. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. And so what we're going to do here in just a moment, we're going to take just a moment and we're going to yield ourselves. And what I want to do is take a moment and give you an opportunity to just bless someone. What that means is I want to just speak over you, Terry. I just want to bless you. I want to bless you, and I just want to speak honor. I just want to bless you and ask that the favor of God rise up in your heart, and that your way before you will go well, and that the things that have been assigned against you will not prosper, but that God's hand is upon your life, and that you're going to manifest God's power in the midst of the opposition that would come against you. Because I know there's voices that set out to, as an assignment, to stop the power of God from working in your life. But the things that the enemy meant for evil, God's going to work for good. And the Lord is going to cause you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be strong in the midst of that. And you won't be overcome. Brother, I just tell you, you won't be overcome. The enemy may try to start out and make accusations, but that's the nature of the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. But God has set His approval upon you. The hand of the Lord is upon you to approve you and to strengthen you and to bless you, and He will not leave you. And God's not going to allow the words of the enemy to penetrate nor to have any power, but God's going to sustain you. And when the enemy gets together for a planning meeting to decide what they're going to do, God shows up at that planning meeting and takes all of their devices and turns it for good. And I want to say to you that the hand of God is going to lead you and instruct you, and He will not forsake you. But God's going to raise you up, and you're going to move forth as a man of power and a man of strength, and you're going to accomplish everything that God has purposed for you. Oh, don't listen to the generational stuff that mankind has tried to attach to you. Don't listen to the words of limitation that people have tried to put around you, but you be encouraged knowing that God's got His hand and He's going to fulfill His purpose. I see strength in you. I do. I see strength in you. I see the ability to rise up. You're a man of God. You're a man of strength. You're going to be like a lion that roars, and God's going to cause your domain to be established. God's given you a land, and you're going to possess it. You're going to possess it. I just see that. I just see you possessing it. You're not going to be weak in the midst of accusation, but you're going to be strong. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost on that. You're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just bless him right now. Bless him right now. Strengthen his hands. Strengthen his hands. I want to say that God's going to give you wisdom and an understanding heart. You're going to know when to be silent, and you're going to know when to speak. And I want to say that when you speak, the Lord's going to back up every word. God's not going to let your words fall to the ground, but He's going to establish you. Those that would try to undermine you, I'm just telling you, God's going to preserve you, and God's going to keep you. And you're going to accomplish the will of God. You stand strong. Don't you allow you're to be like the guards at the palace in London. People try to move them, shake them. They have no response to outside anything. They are powerful men. They are powerful warriors, but they don't respond to anything. And I just want to say, you stand with your head high and you don't respond to what other people say or think. They are not your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. He is your shepherd and He will guide you.
Thank
you, Lord. You stand without a response. You allow the Holy Spirit to be God in your life. So I just bless you right now. I speak strength and I speak courage to you and to your house in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Hallelujah. You know, the most amazing thing is the fact that I walked up here and I didn't have a thing for him, but I can just bless him. And when you yield to the blessing, that's it. When you yield, that's all it takes. Just yield to the blessing. Just yield to it. And the love of God, God loves this man. And God wants his purpose to be established in him. So I just bless him. I bless him in the name of Jesus. And I just feel like there's a word for you. Does that bear witness to you? That, I tell you, I just feel like the Holy Spirit is upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Sister, I just want to say that God wants to just strengthen you. He does. Now, I'm not sure how He's going to do that, but I just want to say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. And I speak strength to you. I speak strength to you. Hallelujah. The enemy would like to find a crack in the wall that he can drive wedges through, but I want to say that he's not going to, the devices of the enemy shall not be successful, but God is going to raise you up and you're going to be a pillar in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. And I just want to say that you are going to be remembered even when you're gone as an honorable, virtuous woman. You're going to be known as a woman who trusted the Lord. And that God is going to bless you and strengthen you and establish you. And so I just want to say, be strong in the Lord. You stand steadfast in your faith. Don't hedge. Don't draw back. Don't draw away because of opposition. But you stand strong in faith, giving glory to God. For in that, the Lord is going to cause you to be sustained. For He is your strength. You are not your own strength. You're not. You've been purchased. You've been bought with a price. And so trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 says for you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And so guys, I want to say to you, every one of you, you don't have to have had an angel show up to you and say, you are a prophet. You don't have to do any of that. What we want you to do is just to have the power to bless. Just to bless. I just want to bless you. I want to bless you. I feel very strongly to say to this group, it's important that you bless your house. I really feel this is important, that you step into a place that you declare blessing over your house. I just want to bless you. And then allow the Holy Spirit to unlock things. Sometimes I believe homes have been held under the captivity of the enemy's hold, and they need someone through the power of the Holy Spirit and a prophetic word to stand in the midst of that and declare blessing. Well, how can you declare blessing over my life when my family is going through this and going through that? Somebody needs to stand up and declare blessing. You have that authority. Speak blessing. I know you're facing this, but it doesn't matter. The hand of the Lord is on our life.
Amen.
And I bless you. I declare favor over you.
Yes.
You're going to be a man of favor, a man of honor, a woman of favor, a woman of honor. And I feel very strongly that you need to do that. You may have grown kids. You need to get them on the phone. I just feel like I'm supposed to bless you.
Yes.
I just want you to know that you are a blessing. God's got His hand on your life. Well, they're not living for God. Well, that's not your job. Your job is to bless them. Bless them. And let the Holy Spirit unlock the door. Because you may say something like, I bless you. And they may have a bottle of booze in their hand while they're talking to you. But those words don't just go into their head. They go into their spirit. That's where freedom comes. Don't get your eyes on the stuff they're doing. You're trying to make them religious. Stop it. Stop trying to make them like you. If you quit doing this, God will like you. If you quit doing that, God will bless you like He blesses me. Well, I don't know that to absolutely be true, because that's what they told us. I was raised in a freeholdness church. I don't know if you know what a freeholdness church is, but it's kind of low-class Pentecostal holiness. And I was raised in that, man. God's going to get you for something. Maybe He hadn't figured it out yet, but He's going to get you for something. And if it's fun, it's wrong. I remember as a little boy sitting in Oklahoma City. I was at the Yale Theater. I don't even know if that building's even standing anymore, in Capitol Hill. I was a little boy, and I was at the Jerry Lewis Dean Martin show. I must have been 8 years old. And I remember to this day, it burned in my conscience. If Jesus comes, He's not going to take me. And I think, what kind of... who does that? To leave the impression to children that they didn't cross that T, God doesn't love them anymore. Boy, we've been messed up. We've been messed up. So your job isn't to make people like you. Your job is to introduce them to Him. Listen, the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. You're the suit that gets altered. You alter you to fit Him.
Amen.
You don't alter Him to fit you. Yes. And we have to understand that. That God's not out to get anybody. And if you don't understand that, you'll judge people in a horrible way. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to take just a moment. We have a few moments. And just as a point of exercise. Now, I'm asking you to lay aside any Elizabethan English. But I want you to find somebody. It could be somebody right next to you. Or it could be somebody across the room. You may feel led to do something. But I want you to, your intention, I want you to speak a blessing over their life. Now, you may not know what to say. And you know what? If you finish blessing and if you don't have anything else to go with that, thank God for a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. I got blessed, man. That's more than I came in with. And so, be free with the blessing. But at the same time, be yielding as your blessing. See, a lot of times people, they're not speaking, so God can't use them. But when you're blessing, you're speaking, and so you've already got the train rolling, so God just hooks up with what's already happening. And He'll drop something in. And if you feel then an unction, then just let that blessing toward them expand a little bit. And it may be a specific word that jumps on you, and if it does, just stay there and pray that word over them. God, just bring honor. Maybe protection. Lord, just pray for protection over them. I also want to say to you, God doesn't want you to be afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid. Now, you don't have to be super spiritual to know that. God doesn't want you to be afraid. So what I'm going to ask that everybody do is I want everybody to stand with me for just a moment. And we have just a moment here. I'd like you just right now, everyone just close your eyes for just a moment. Let's just give God thanks. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We bless You. But in blessing You, Lord, how can we bless You and not bless Your body? How can we bless the Lord on one hand and ignore the pain of somebody on another hand? How can this happen, Lord? I'm just asking God that right now that You would just empower us to be a blessing. Lord, we want more than we want anything. We want to be a blessing. Thank You, Lord. I just ask You, Father, that You would just speak to every person and empower them that the words that they speak, even the words of blessing, let it be words, Lord, that are empowered to set the captive free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, would you just find one person, maybe two, and preferably not your mate, okay? I'd like for you to find somebody and just step across. And now listen, you don't have to be super spiritual with this, but just, Lord, I just want to bless. Now, you may have to do this, take turns doing it. Let them bless you, and then you bless them. Let them just declare a blessing over you, and then you declare a blessing over them. Come on, would everybody just find someone, just someone close to you, and just say, I want to bless you. I just want to declare the favor of God. I want to speak the favor. Lord, I just bless him in the name of Jesus. I bless him in the name of Jesus. I just pray, oh God, that the fire of God and the blessing of God would rest upon him in Jesus' name. Come on, just right now, speak that over.
Father, I thank you for Pastor Jerry, and right now I just bless him in his school, this new school that's coming. I thank you. It's the second year and the third year.